I sit and write on my grandmother's ancient stained mattress where she used to knit and watch old black and white Mexican charro movies. After a 5-year marriage, I'm here in my parents' house on her old bed. There's another mattress I could use, a nice queen-size pillow top on which my ex-husband Jack and I used to sleep. I spent most of my time in that bed sick, physically and mentally. That mattress is now in the garage, leaning against my dad's totaled Volkswagen Jetta, objects of yesterday. Growing up, when I used to look in my grandmother's room, I'd often see her praying and crying on her bed. A long time ago, her marriage fell apart when my grandfather left her and their 8 children. I've heard that he couldn't handle her. I couldn't stand the thought that Jack had to handle me. It's true, he took care of me even in the toughest times. Being with him was easy. Being with me, well, unfortunately for Jack, I have bipolar, anxiety, and after years of digestive issues, was eventually diagnosed with Crohn's. Even though he struggled to understand it all at first, he stuck around through the panic attacks, meltdowns, and days when I couldn't get out of bed. He loved me, buck teeth and all. I often wondered why. I would sometimes tease him about his crush on Allison Felix, an Olympic sprinter, to try to get him to leave me, so I would be spared from breaking his sweetheart. What a coward. But how could I leave someone so perfect for a mere chance at the life that I truly wanted in music and risk failing? Either choice, leaving or staying, could end in regret. When we met, we connected through running and, more importantly, music, something both of us wanted to make into a career. We talked about everything from jazz to Coldplay to Amos Lee. Our lives moved along like music notes, little black blots spilling onto a page, composing a love song that only we could hear. Even though he was and still is one hunk of a man, GQ model material, I don't think I really felt a physical connection with him. In the beginning, I told myself that it was okay if the sex wasn't the greatest. Maybe it wasn't that bad. I didn't know. I'd only been with one other guy, and it's not like I expected it to be like the sizzling sex scenes on TV where both parties roll around in the sheets panting and satisfied. I fell in love with Jack's personality, his drive, tenacity, intelligence, and creativity. The man lives up to his name. He's a jack of all trades. I never thought I would get divorced. But he wanted kids soon. I didn't. I always hoped the issues would go away, that he'd change, or I'd change, or we'd find some sort of compromise. I even suggested an open marriage at one point. There would be rules, of course, like no butt stuff or no falling in love. But Jack, a devout Catholic, wasn't a fan. The subject was dropped but not forgotten. It wasn't just the sex stuff getting in the way of having a happy life together. When we talked about music as a career early in our courtship, he seemed really excited and interested in making that happen. But then he turned his attention to his other passion, horticulture. I knew that's what he really wanted to do, and I wanted him to be happy. And I didn't think it was with me, even though he assured me that it was. Deep into my depression, I stopped singing. I quit trying to learn the guitar. I had no motivation and no one to really push me closer to my goal of being a professional musician. I let go of many internship opportunities because I couldn't move without Jack. He didn't want to do long distance because we couldn't afford to pay rent and a mortgage. It made sense, but I didn't care. I'd figure it out along the way if I had to. I'm a Gryffindor, brave, even if at times it's reckless. Jack just didn't understand my madness. I needed to be on my own. I needed the freedom to travel, the space for great sex, and maybe new love, but not before learning to love myself first. I filed for divorce. No lawyers, no kids, just 2 people who cared about each other enough to let go. On August 2nd, 2016, we commemorated our divorce day with a sushi date at Sakari in Des Moines, where we lived. After we ate, we left in separate cars. We held back tears and waved goodbye. It was official. I was a free woman. I was alone. Free to do whatever the I wanted. In reality, our marriage had been over for several months, Both of us started dating before the divorce was final. For a while, we talked to each other about our matches on dating apps, something Jack started. But that got uncomfortable for me. I wanted him to move on without constantly drawing a comparison between me and some girl on his screen. And not to mention, we seemed to be looking for different things in our respective searches. Recovering from a nearly sexless marriage, I turned to Tinder to hook me up. I did it again and again, but that got old real quick, and I ended up feeling empty and alone. I knew it would be that way, but I didn't care. I wanted a warm body, and guess what? Others need them too, so that happened. Just as I was about to delete my dating profile, this hippie redhead messaged me. Hale recently moved back to Des Moines from Boulder, Colorado. He was a gardener as well, who loved to cook, 420 friendly, excellent taste in music. We chatted on Tinder about what we were looking for on here, our interests, and what we did for a living. Well, at the time, I was barely living because of my declining health, so working was difficult. I had given up on my job at Wells Fargo, and I was thinking of moving back home. Jack and I were divorced and still living together. He wanted me out so he could move on with his new lady friend, and I wanted to get the hell out of there too. But at the time, I couldn't afford a place on my own. Then Kale offered me a job as a residential landscaper. I accepted, and because that wasn't enough, he offered to help me find an apartment too. He was wonderful, but it seemed too soon after leaving a marriage to have thoughts of love like this. A hopeless romantic, I decided to give it a shot anyway. As much as I hate to admit it, in some ways I'm a lot like my grandmother. Stubborn and at times moody, but also strong and determined. But I don't want to end up like her or my parents, unhappy and alone or together in a marriage lacking passion. I've done both, but with Kale it was different. We had a good thing going for a while. I ended up moving back to Sioux City for a few weeks, then back to Des Moines to prove that I could make it on my own, and also to be closer to him. Kale lived just two blocks away from my apartment. He was so close, yet so far away. That's how most of the relationship went, all 6 months of it. Me trying to make us work, optimistic, yet also depressed and riddled with anxiety attacks. Him holding back, drifting away. We were both going through some with our mental illnesses. We took a couple breaks before the breakup. I felt truly alone. I finally realized that my parents were right. I needed my family, and I knew that I needed to focus on myself as well. Now I'm here back in Sioux City again, sitting on a stained mattress, making strides towards a music career, and what do you know, recovering from another heartbreak. My heart is sore. It's like the universe is telling me that I need to save some love for myself instead of giving it all away. If I do that, maybe romance will come. An upbeat banjo blares from the speakers of my iPhone. A fiddle joins in. I know this one by heart. It's Sing to the Mountain by Elephant Revival. Kale and I used to howl along with the track every time it played in his car. It's time for a new song. Many new songs that are my own. Thank you.
Mirtha Iniguez is the host and producer of the Triple Good Music Show, which features local and regional music every Friday at 10 p.m., only on Siouxland Public Media. Mirtha shared her story at Odes Live Storytelling event last month. Join us on Wednesdays to hear more. Next week...
And I thought, this sucks. This sucks that I can't move my body and I can't get to that button, but at least I know where I'm going.
Ode is a storytelling series where community members tell true stories on stage to promote positive impact through empathy. It's produced by Siouxland Public Media. Our next event is 6:30 p.m. Friday, October 6th at ISU Design West in downtown Sioux City. The theme is home. Tickets are available at kwit.org. You can also listen to past stories online and learn more about Ode on Facebook. Support for Siouxland Public Media's production of Ode comes from Cuneo, a coupon app that promotes small local businesses. The music you're hearing was played live by Alex Irwin at the event. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Ellie Carson.
I walk upon the river like it's easier than land. Evil's in my pocket and your will is in my hand. No, your will is in my hand. I throw it in the current that I stand upon so still. Love is all from what I've learned, but my heart's learned to kill. No, mine is learned to kill. Oh, I said I could rise from the harness of a ghost. Here come the tears. Just like always, I let them go. Uh-oh-oh. I let them go. Well, spikes are falling from the heavens, heavens to the floor. The future was our skin and now we don't dream anymore. No, we don't dream anymore. Got a house made of spider webs and the clouds rolling in. I bet this mighty river's both my savior and my sin. No, my savior and my sin. Oh, I said I could rise from the harness of our goals. Here come the tears, oh, like always, I let them go. Oh, just let them go. River like it's easier than land. Evil's in my pocket and your strength is in my hand. No, your strength is in my hand. Well, I throw it in the current that I stand upon so still. Love is all from what I've learned, but my heart's learned to kill. Now mine is learned to kill. Oh, I said I could rise from the harness of our goals. Here come the tears, oh, like always, I let them go. Just let them go. I let them go. Just let them go.